From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude his sixth message in a series expounding the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. The title of the message is Christ Our Sin-Bearer. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Not Left to Perish. The text is Psalm 16, verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. This word has its proper fulfillment in the Lord Jesus, but it applies also, with a variation, to all who are in him. Our soul shall not be left in the separate state, and our body, though it see corruption, shall rise again. The general meaning, rather than the specific application, is that to which we would call your thoughts at this particular time. We may descend in spirit very low, till we seem to be plunged in the abyss of hell, but we shall not be left there. We may appear to be at death's door in heart and soul and consciousness, but we cannot remain there. Our inward death as to joy and hope may proceed very far, but it cannot run on to its full consequences so as to reach the utter corruption of black despair. We may go very low, but not lower than the Lord permits. We may stay in the lowest dungeon of doubt for a while, but we shall not perish there. The star of hope is still in the sky when the night is blackest. The Lord will not forget us and hand us over to the enemy. Let us rest in hope. We have to deal with one whose mercy endures forever. Surely, out of death and darkness and despair, we shall yet arise to life, light, and liberty.
distressed, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered.
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. In this series of studies in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah's prophecy, Dr. Cairns is expounding verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The words of this passage clearly refer to the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns has been highlighting two main themes from it: the wickedness of our sin, and the work of Christ regarding our sin. The passage reveals four aspects of the cross of Christ: the physical agony, the spiritual conflict, the penal sufferings, and the finished work. Because of what the Lord Jesus did on the cross, sinners can find healing from their sins and acceptance before God. Now, to conclude this message entitled "Christ Our Sin-Bearer," here is Dr. Cairns.
"In the darkness at Calvary, the devil let loose against the mind of Christ all the salvos of hell. He let loose against the Savior all the armaments of the pit. He sought to defeat him. He sought to break him. Thank God, all he could do was bruise his heel. There was an immense spiritual conflict at the cross. But even devils did their worst and retreated in failure. We're brought to the innermost recesses of the cross. These are the penal sufferings of the cross. When man had done their worst and devils had done their worst, in the hours of darkness at Calvary, the chastisement of our peace was laid on Christ." Chastisement is correction. Chastisement is that which is administered by a father's hand. Chastisement was when Jehovah took the rod in his own hand and applied it to his own son. When Jehovah took the sword and plunged it into his own son. When God the Father dealt with God the Son in human flesh as the great sin-bearing sacrifice. The penal sufferings of the cross. When you talk about the substitution of Christ, never forget that you're talking about God the Father visiting all the punishment that was due to our sin upon his own Son. You're talking about God dealing with everything that caused wrath, only dealing with it in the person of his Son. I've often quoted to you the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:21, one of the texts I quote most in all the Bible, and if I live long enough, I have no doubt I'll continue quoting it. It amazes me. It staggers me. Someday, by the grace of God, I hope to be able to preach it in a way that is becoming to such a text. I have never heard it preached. And I certainly haven't heard it preached by me in such a way that is becoming to the text. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. God made him to be sin for us. Now, I do have to say that that is a legal transaction, not a moral transaction. Jesus Christ did not personally, morally become a sinner on Calvary. But it is a legal transfer. Most commentators say that means he made him the sacrifice for sin. He made him the sin offering. And I'm quite happy to agree. Throughout the Bible, the word sin and sin offering are very often synonymous terms. But I have to say that I believe it means more than just he made him the sin offering.
Or should I say, the meaning of that is more than we take it to be. When it says God made him to be sin, it means he legally imputed all my sin to Christ. Ah, but it means more. It means that God legally looked on Christ as he looked on my sin. And he did to Christ what he would do to my sin. He visited upon Christ all that was to be visited upon my sin. Legally. Pursuing the great covenant of redemption. God took Jesus Christ as the covenant head of all his believing people. And he visited upon that covenant head all the wrath of God that was due to the sins of those who went to make up his body. Thank God, there are the penal sufferings of the cross. But the fourth and final aspect of Calvary here, the work of Christ, shows us the victory of the cross, because here we have the finished work of the cross. With his stripes we are healed, or with his stripes we have healing. We have the healing. In other words, men did their worst against Christ, and he overcame all the suffering that came through their hatred, their wounding of his body. Devils did their worst, but he overcame every principality and power and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his cross. The wrath of God then was poured upon him, and God the Father took his rod and chastised Christ his Son for our sins. But when the last drop from the vial of the wrath of God had been poured upon Christ, when the last dregs from the cup of God's wrath had been drunk by Christ, thank God, he was the conqueror. He overcame sin. He paid for sin. He satisfied God. He satisfied law. He bore the wrath until there was no more wrath. I've often quoted to you the old statement of the matter. I'd like to have been the one to have thought it up, but I'd need to be as nearly as old as Methuselah to have done that. Throughout the Old Testament, in every sacrifice, the fire consumed the lamb. Thank God, when you come to Calvary, the lamb consumed the fire. With his stripes, we are healed. Our sin gone. Our rebellion put away. We are now made loving, willing subjects of the King. Our guilt put away, and we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Our disease put away, and we are made perfectly whole. Let me tell you, when you get saved, your mind is put right. The demoniac of Gadara was found sitting clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. You're not in your right mind at all if you're not found at the feet of Christ. But may I tell you, as soon as you're saved and made nigh to God through Christ, your thinking's put straight. Your will is put straight. Your affections are put straight. Your walk is put straight. You've got healing. That's the kind of healing that really matters. So many people wanting to prove that healing from a headache is in the atonement. They're wanting to prove that healing from this physical malady and the other physical malady is in the atonement. Well, sure, it's in the atonement, but the Bible tells us when you're going to enter in to that body that is free from all sin, and it's on the day of redemption. Meanwhile, you'll just have to put up with your headaches and your warts and your pimples and your pains and your aches. The Lord in his grace may decide to give you some ease from them. On the other hand, he might find that it's better for his glory and your good to suffer them. But isn't it tragic that so many people are giving so much time and effort and paying so much money to charlatans who promise them healing of body and they don't know healing of soul? There is a real healing of the mind, of the heart, of the will, of the life. With his stripes we are healed. Thank God, the peace of God, based on peace with God, is the possession of all for whom Jesus Christ bore the chastening rod. Here's the finished work of the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. As we finish this service, let me ask you just to take one thing with you. When you come to the cross and you come to the gospel, you come to salvation, you come to life, notice, it's all Christ. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was chastised. He bore the stripes. He does the forgiving. He does the justifying. He does the healing. It is all Christ. I trust that as you've looked into this text, that you will have seen something of the wickedness of your own sin. And you'll have seen by the grace of God the work of Christ regarding that sin. If you have never come to Christ to receive him as your Savior, if you have never come to Christ to have the cleansing power of that precious blood applied, if you have never come to Christ to be healed by his stripes, we would invite you to come today. There's power in the blood of Christ. There's victory in the cross of Christ. There's grace in the person of Christ. And it's there for you. Will you come today? I trust you will. And by simple faith, receiving Christ, pass from the wickedness of sin into the enjoyment of the work of the Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Dear Father in heaven, bless thy word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, of whom it speaks. We thank thee, our Father, for the grace of God that deals with such sin as ours. Lord, as we think of the greatness of our sin, the wickedness of our hearts by nature and by practice, we confess that we could understand it had the Lord simply given us up to the punishment of hell. We could understand justice demanding our complete destruction in hell. But, oh God, we bless thee for grace. We thank thee for the love of God in Christ. We cannot understand how God could ever love guilty sinners such as we are. We cannot understand how Christ would take upon him to die in our place. Lord, such love, such grace passes comprehension. But today we bow before thee with gratitude. Remember the words of Seth Sykes. So often we have sung them today, Lord. We lift them to thee as the testimony of our heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. We do praise thee, Lord, for the person and work of thy dear Son. Apply that work to every waiting heart. Grant that not one man, woman, or child will leave this meeting, yet a rebel against God and his Christ, yet perversely going on in sin. O God, see of the lost today. Restore the cold in heart. Forgive us, Lord, for losing our first love. O God, bring us to the cross and melt our hearts.
And in all things to Thee we will give the praise. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.